If you have your scriptures with you this afternoon, we'd like you to take them and turn along with us to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you don't have your Bibles with you, you can follow along as I read. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. And the Apostle Paul writes these words to the saints at Corinth. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Brethren, we are here today because over 50 years ago, God raised up a ministry which has come to be known as the Berean Bible Society. Of course, God uses the human instrument to make known his plans and purposes. And in our case, he chose a man by the name of C.R. Stamm. Brother Stamm was the founder of BBS and ministered the gospel of the grace of God faithfully for over 60 years. Thankfully, he is still with us. In fact, he celebrated recently his 88th birthday. And I know he would love to be here today, but because of weakness, he was unable to do so. But it is good to have his dear wife, Ruth, stand with us. And I'm going to ask Ruth if she would stand. And hello to Mrs. Stamm later. My wife always tells me never give the age of the women, but in Mrs. Stamm's case, we're going to be make an exception. She's going to be 82 in 2 weeks. So you can wish her a happy birthday. BBS had a very humble beginning out in Preakness, New Jersey. It was there that Pastor Stamm had one of his first pastorates, and he preached Paul's gospel there for a number of years, and it was in the basement of that facility that he first published the Berean Searchlight. That's our monthly magazine that is sent into the homes of the saints all over the world. And at first, it was sent just to the residents of the church and the residents of Preakness, New Jersey. And that was back in 1940. Then in 1945, Brother Stamm received the call to come to Milwaukee here, to the Milwaukee Bible Institute. And it was there that he worked faithfully, shoulder to shoulder, with Pastor Charles Baker as they sought to train young men and women for the ministry. And Brother Stamm was here in this area for a number of years, and so it's like coming back home to the Milwaukee land area. In about 1953, Brother Stamm moved the ministry to Chicago, Illinois. And it was there for a number of years. And the reason he relocated it there was back in the 50s, Chicago was the heart of the fundamentalist movement. Now, today, that term has extreme connotations, as we know. But back then, it was used in the good sense. It was believers who came together to observe the fundamentals of the faith and take an uncompromising stand for them, that the Word of God is the final authority in our lives, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that we are saved by grace through faith. And so the Berean Bible Society was in Chicago, Illinois, and it was there that the circulation of the Searchlight began to expand. It was also there that Pastor Stam authored over 30 books on the Scriptures to help you understand and enjoy the Scriptures. That's really the purpose of the ministries of the Berean Bible Society. It is our goal to open the Scriptures unto you, rightly divided, that you might be a Berean and study to see if these things are so. And we help you do that through the Searchlight, which is the magazine that we publish that comes out with articles by Pastor Stan and myself and other Grace authors. Also, we have our Bible Time ministry, a radio ministry that is aired on about 75 stations across the country. And again, this is another outreach ministry that others might hear the good news of God's grace. We also publish 2 Minutes with the Bible. Pastor Stam also originated that in the Preakness Church, and it has grown immensely over the years, insofar as we are in over 800 newspapers across this great land of ours. And so millions upon millions are exposed to God's grace. And as you know, we have a wide variety of Christian literature that has been written both by Brother Stam and myself. And we trust that you will avail yourself to it. And don't take our word for it. We have a challenge for you today. We want you to open these Scriptures, and as the Bereans of old, study to see if these things are so. And so we're glad you're here today. We have, as you know, relocated the ministry here in Germantown. The officials of Germantown, we want to thank publicly today for helping us with the rezoning and welcoming us to the community. Thank you very much.
Hymn number 449, your song sheet there, to God be the glory.
Well, thank you very much, Andy. It's indeed an honor and privilege to be here today, and another honor to be asked to speak. It's an amazing thing if you think about it for a moment. How in the world can we summarize the grace message, the grace movement, in a few minutes? Now, some of you are expecting that I'm going to say that the grace movement began with J.C. O'Hare, maybe with Mr. Bullinger. That's not true. The grace message began with the Apostle Paul. That's when the grace movement began. That's not new. Not unless you think 2,000 years is rather young. No, indeed, the grace movement began. Now then, others have said, as they review what we call church history, when you read the Bible thoughtfully, carefully, and prayerfully, how could we expect that things should be any different than they are today? Oh, and how's that? Well, the answer is that the truth goes begging and error goes first class. How is it that most of the churches, if we were to tell them of Paul and of his unique dispensational message of grace, it would be strange doctrine. And yet, that's the message that God gave the Apostle Paul. That's the message. He was in bonds. That's the message that began its struggle while Paul was still alive and well. I say well, but he was in jail. But he wrote these words. You want to know where problems began in the grace movement? Let me read. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. He said to Timothy, "This thou knowest, that all they which be in Asia be turned away from me." That's where the problems in the grace movement began, turning away from the Apostle Paul. Now notice what it does not say. It doesn't say they turned away from Christ. It doesn't say they quit believing that Christ died for their sins. But Paul had other words for Timothy. He says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." What's that? The Sermon on the Mount? The Beatitudes? The parable? No. The testimony of our Lord is what the risen Lord gave to the Apostle Paul. It's what we call the grace message. That distinct divine revelation from heaven. Timothy, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. So folks, we're following the jailbird. He's a convict. He's got a criminal record. He served time. But all that he did for the gospel's sake and for your sake and for mine. Well, the grace movement has had real times of darkness. That is, if we can believe Christian literature, century upon century has gone where, as far as Christian literature shows, there was no grace message. And that these things seem to be buried in the hearts or in the annals of something, we don't know, we can't find it. Historically, it wasn't there until, perhaps a little more than a century or more ago, Pauline truths began to be rediscovered, as it were. We're reminded of the time when, wasn't it Josiah? He was the king of Israel. And you know, the kings were each one to make a personal copy of the Bible themselves. But this chap, they were sweeping out the garbage and the corruption and the trash in the temple, and they found the scriptures. That's how much the Word of God had gotten lost with the nation that was given to care for him. And so it was a rediscovery. It was revival in Israel. And so the Christian church had revival several times in its history. We're thankful for the Reformation, but it did just a little to begin to open the door, "The just shall live by faith," a verse of faith, a verse that Paul loved, and also a verse that, really, that's Old Testament, though, isn't it? Yes, indeed. And so we really come up in modern times, and one of the things, may I say, that caught my attention was this. When I began, I saw Pastor Stam's literature, and he said, "Fundamental." I said, "So am I." He said, "Evangelical." I said, "So am I." He said, "Dispensational." I said, "So am I." He said, "Premillennial." And I said, "So am I." What's different? I could hardly understand it. He was on a different wavelength. It was a message that was new to me, and it didn't come in clear at all. How can this be? And he said furthermore, he said, "We are the heirs of the Darby-Schofield movement." Well, after being saved out of denominationalism and the darkness, I was not the Lord, but I was saved through ministry among folks called the Plymouth Brethren. But then I learned about the gospel of salvation by grace, of eternal security, of knowing and really saying that we're really saved and we're heaven bound. And so I was all of those, and I was part of that Darby-Schofield movement. But you know what? It sort of stopped in its tracks, and it sort of dried on the vine, and it sort of became stagnant, and it became divisive and divided. Oh, there are remnants here and there, still alive in a measure, but as an heir of that movement, I didn't understand what really we should have gone on to. That movement should have gone on to what we rejoice in today and what God has raised up men like J.C. O'Hare, Pastor Stan, Charles Baker, and, well, there's a number of other men that used and known to many of us here that God has revived this grace movement. Now, the grace movement, even in our modern times, has had problems too. And so, you see, as we talk about the history of the grace movement, bringing it into modern times, Pastor Sadler talked about the Berean Bible Society, a ministry established under the care and God using Pastor Stan in a marvelous way for over 50 years, and we're thankful for that. You've seen this book, the red book of the 50 years here, the anniversary special of the Green Bible Society. Very interesting, wonderful to read, and to reread as well. But my point is this, then, someone is asking today, well, now the Green Bible Fellowship, and of course, I'm connected with the Green Bible Fellowship. I serve on its board of directors, and they say, well, now the Green Bible Fellowship, sort of an oversight organization over the Green Bible Society. Oh, I said, no, really, it's really quite the contrary. Because, you see, about 28 years ago is when the Green Bible Fellowship came into being. Pastor Stan, Pastor Wynn Johnson, and a number of other men, about 8 or 9 men, formed a board. They formed the Green Bible Fellowship, we'll have to say, as a believing that it was time for a fresh declaration and a new stand for the gospel of grace, for the Word of God rightly divided, and without the inroads of neo-evangelicalism. Pastor Stan served on the Milwaukee Bible Institute some years before, and that institute had gotten bigger, and as we see the trends of history, it had drifted. And the once thrilling and popular, I use that word advisedly, grace message had begun to wane and in some sense to take a back seat. Yet that which was called neo-evangelicalism came in to the movement, and so the Green Bible Fellowship was born as a renewal for a stand for the grace message, and that was in 1968. So Pastor Stan was working one of the founding fathers of BBF, Green Bible Fellowship. And so you might say that the Green Bible Fellowship has grown out of the society, certainly not the other. But we want to say this, that the purpose and goals, as you've heard of Green Bible Society, are the same goals shared by the Green Bible Fellowship. We, our outwork and ministry is of a different sort, but let me go on and say about the organization. Pastor Stan never did serve as an officer of the board of directors. He was never president, vice president, secretary, or treasurer. He served on the board for not much more than about 10 years, at which time, you know, busy with other things, Pastor Stan withdrew from the board of Green Bible Fellowship. But these two organizations have gone on the same road with the same target, the gospel of grace of God, the Word of God rightly divided, and to do what Paul told Timothy, preach the Word. So we don't mean to be distracted by neo-evangelicalism or by today, a more sinister thing, the New Age movement, or any other distraction. We pray that God will keep us on target for the gospel of his matchless grace, and that without diversion. So these organizations, though, are very very harmonious, and they're working together. Let me suggest this. Maybe some of you don't know, Pastor Sadler has, even before his being with the Berean Bible Society, served on the board of Berean Bible Fellowship. And so has Brother Don Weffel, who's here, serving on the DBS board. He was with the Berean Bible Fellowship Board also. And even at this present hour, two of the BBS board members, David Brown and John Fredrickson, Pastor John Fredrickson from Florida, they too serve on both boards. Now, we do have a rule that not more than 3 men can serve on 2 boards this way, so that we don't have one organization dominating another. It gives us a sense of independency, and yet a great spirit of cooperation. So that's the way you need to understand. Berean Bible Fellowship is a fellowship of believers. We have a doctrinal statement that is, we trust, that essentially the same as the doctrinal statement of Berean Bible Society. And we stand for this message, and we invite membership. Berean Bible Fellowship has a membership, and we have a conference ministry, a Bible conference, where each year, my word, 15, 20 different speakers that come to Cedar Lake, Indiana, and we have a week, or almost a week, from Saturday night till Thursday night, and we have messages from 7 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night, preaching the gospel of the grace of God. Now, I don't know anywhere in the United States that you can go and hear the grace message taught with this faithfulness, with this single purpose other than at Cedar Lake during the week, it's one of the later weeks of June. Now, we have the program, but we don't happen to have one. And you can, our dates this year are June the 22nd on Saturday through the 27th on Thursday night. So that whole week we're there, we're residents of the grounds, and we have a wonderful time of fellowship and ministry.